Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The topic of today's video is college horror stories. Whether they take place on campus or in a social setting such as college bars or parties. A big part of a person's college years will be the social aspect. Your social life may drastically improve from high school to college. However, many people don't realize the importance of smelling good while networking. People heavily judge you based on your scent, and smelling bad is a guaranteed way to make people not want to associate with you. Scentbird is your solution. It's a monthly subscription service that allows you to pick from countless colognes and perfumes from all the top fragrance brands like Gucci, Versace, Prada, and Tom Ford, and find your favorites without buying a big, expensive bottle, delivering them right to your door for just $17 a month. Each fragrance comes in a bottle made to last you 30 days. Some of the scents I received this month are Eros Flame by Versace, Cross River Gorilla by Sanctuary, and Four Men Black Edition by Bentley. Each bottle comes with a card which explains what the fragrance smells like too. With Scentbird, you'll be excited to go out and socialize with people, especially as you get more and more compliments on your cologne or perfume. If you're not sure which fragrance is right for you, you can go on their website and take their quiz, which will tell you which scent is the best fragrance for you based on your lifestyle. The quiz takes less than a minute and gives you personalized results based on what you're looking for. If you're interested, use Nightmare55Off, scanning my QR code or at the link below to get 55% off your first month at Scentbird. My name is Chuck. I graduated from the University of California, Berkeley in 2016. My college experience was perfect. I was part of a frat, I managed my studies well, and spent just the right amount of time chasing girls. I'm actually still friends with a lot of my old frat brothers, and I recently got engaged to my fiancé Rosie, whom I also met at Berkeley. If you had asked me my opinion of Berkeley when I was a freshman though, I can assure you that my answer would be very, very different. What I'm about to tell you is one of the main reasons why. I was never overly ambitious in high school. The Berkeley atmosphere was extremely foreign to me. And it was weird being surrounded by so many self-proclaimed high achievers. As a freshman, I was quickly swept up into the frenzy of career development and planning the next 30 years of your life as an 18-year-old. Silly, I know, but that was the nature of my school at the time. If you wanted to get any sort of offer in the business world, having a strong LinkedIn profile was a necessity. I can still remember the stress of cultivating a professional image online. As if my future hinged on which people I connected with and what skills I listed. Regardless, I checked all the boxes and began my search for a summer internship. It wasn't long before my inbox chimed with an actual meaningful message. To my genuine surprise, a prestigious business firm had reached out to me, expressing interest in my profile. It wasn't one of those bot messages either. The substance of the message indicated that this was actually a unique message designed specifically for me. I read it over like 6 times before finally responding, and after about a day and a brief correspondence, I was invited to a first-round interview. I spent hours researching the company so I'd know what to expect come the interview, and I prepped myself with all the sample questions I could find. I soon got a message from a guy named Armand Slowinski. I'll never forget that name for as long as I live. He stated that he was to be my interviewer, and naturally, the first thing I did was do some background research on the guy. However, excitement soon gave way to puzzlement. I scoured LinkedIn for Armand's profile, expecting to glean some insight into the person I'd soon be meeting. Strangely, I found nothing. No trace of their professional footprint, no social media, nothing. I shrugged it off, attributing it to perhaps a preference for privacy or something like that. Armand and I agreed on a day and time, and he gave me the interview location. I searched it up on my phone and realized that it was some random coffee shop in Oakland. This is when I started getting confused. Why would an interview not take place in Berkeley? We had tons of coffee shops and perfect places for interviews in our college town, so I was just perplexed. The address online seems pretty normal though, so I didn't think much of it. A day before the interview, I told my friend Riley about the situation. He was even more confused than I was, telling me that the situation seemed fishy. I agreed with him, but I figured it was worth it for the position I might be getting. He asked me how I was getting there, and I told him I was Ubering. He offered to give me a ride, as he wasn't doing anything at the time. I thanked him and took him up on his offer. Little did I know, I might not even be telling this story if he hadn't offered to drive me. It was 4 in the afternoon the next day, and Riley rolled up to my dorm. Admittedly, I was extremely nervous, and this was one of my first interviews. I got in the car, and we were off. 20 minutes later, I told Riley to drop me off on the street, as I didn't want to be seen having a friend drop me off for an interview. I thanked him, and he offered to wait for me. I asked him if he was sure, and he smirked, pulling out a big bag of weed from inside of his dashboard. I laughed, then shut the door. I walked a couple minutes to the location and froze in my tracks. I looked up at the literal construction site in front of me. There was no coffee shop. Even stranger, this entire area wasn't residential at all. Like, all of the buildings looked closed or private. Confused, I double-checked my phone and confirmed that I was in the right location. This entire block must have been recently demolished, so recently that even Google Maps hadn't updated. I pulled out my phone to call Riley, but before I could, a booming voice rang out behind me. "Chuck," exclaimed a deep voice. I whipped around and was met with the appearance of an absurdly tall man wearing an expensive-looking black suit. Thank God, I thought, grateful that this whole ordeal hadn't been some kind of setup. His presence was commanding, yet oddly out of place amidst the derelict surroundings. I should also note that the car he was standing next to was a matte black Bentley. He walked toward me with a confused look on his face. We shook hands, and when I asked him about the construction site, he said he was just as surprised as I was. He furrowed his eyebrows and put his hand on his chin. "You know what, why don't we find someplace else? Get in," he said, motioning towards the Bentley. He walked back to the car and shouted over his shoulder, "Shotgun's all yours." Without another word, he got in the front seat and shut the door. Excitedly, I followed. I walked around the car just to admire it a little, and couldn't help but glance into the back seat. I expected to see the beautiful leather seats that you would expect in a Bentley, but instead, my eyes met a sight that sent a chill down my spine. Lying flat on the ground, obscured by the shadows, was a man. In his hand, he held something long and metal. Panic surged within me, my mind racing with the implications of what lay before me. This was a trap. I turned away from the car and ran as fast as I had ever run before. I heard the man yell my name from behind me, but I didn't even turn around to look. As I ran, I heard the one sound I was dreading, screeching tires. I shot a glance over my shoulder and saw the car turning around, pointing in my direction. I had to think quickly. There was no way I was going to outrun a car. It wasn't like I could just escape the situation. There wasn't really any open space around me, just an endless maze of streets. I could feel the terror coursing through my veins. I made it to the next intersection and faced a choice that may have decided my fate, left or right. Logic told me to just turn left as it was closer, but my feet chose for me before my brain could. I sprinted across the street to the right and darted down the road. I knew I didn't have long, 10, maybe 20 seconds at most. As if by some miracle, one of the buildings in front of me had a fire escape that looked just low enough to jump onto. With every ounce of my strength I had, I vaulted myself upwards, grabbing onto the ladder. I had never done a pull-up in my life, but in my mind, this was life or death. I made it up the ladder and kept climbing. The Bentley whipped around the corner and stopped on the street in front of the building. I couldn't see the driver, but I knew he was looking at me. There was nothing else I could do. If they chose to follow me, I'd just have to fight. The next minute felt like an eternity. The car stood there a little while longer, and then accelerated down the street, turning left to never be seen again. I couldn't breathe. I pulled out my phone and called Riley, basically screaming into the phone about what happened. I stayed on the fire escape until he found me. I got in the car, and we sped off in silence. The aftermath of this whole thing was pretty uneventful. I sort of blocked it out of my brain and refused to talk about it, even with Riley. As far as I was concerned, it never happened. But as much as I tried, there are times, like right now, when I can't help but recall every horrifying detail of what could have been the last day of my life.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is a fresh story happening pretty recently. My family and I were driving to college to help me move in, as I'm currently a first-year student. Once we arrived, I found out that I would be living in a Jack and Jill, which means you and another room share the same bathroom. So essentially, I'd be living with three other guys. I already knew one of them in the other room. We met at orientation and got to know each other. His roommate doesn't matter for this story, though. It's my roommate, Demora, who I'm going to talk about. I got his socials beforehand and we exchanged information. Prior to moving in, I tried talking to him on Instagram to get to know him better, but his replies seemed dry. On top of that, his profile seems like one of those Discord mods that you see on Instagram Reels or TikTok. Once we moved in, I met him and, ironically, he looked like a Discord mod, except he had a skinny build around my height. He looked very pale and had a peach fuzz mustache. I tried talking to him again. His talking style matched his texting style and seemed very introverted. He stuttered a lot and always tried to end the conversation as quickly as possible. I tried to lighten him up by asking what kind of music he listens to, but he said he doesn't, as music wouldn't fill his cup of emptiness. To make things more weird, when he set up his PS5, he immediately started gaming. It's not him gaming that's weird, it's what he does when he games. Demora makes these weird grunting noises, violently shakes his body, and laughs when he spams the controller, and he puts his feet in his desk cabinet, occasionally grabbing his feet and pulling them towards his body during his shakes as well. He whispers to himself as he plays by himself or with his online friends, and he usually repeats what he whispered twice in a gigglish manner. He stays in the room 24/7 and almost never does homework. His movements alone freak me out as I'm trying to sleep. But there's more to the story. Sometime around the first week, I went out with some friends that I met in my dorm building, and I came back pretty late to my dorm, around 1 a.m. Demora looked asleep in his bed, so I nudged it off. As I went to my cabinet, which was right next to my bed, I felt my arm hairs get goosebumps and felt the urge to turn around. So I did. Demora was staring right at me with a slight grin on his face. I yelped and said, "Holy fuck, Demora, why are you looking at me like that?" He laughed it off and said, "Dark time," and turned around to face the wall. This creeped me out, and it happened, I want to say, three more times. I tried to move out, but my college said they didn't have any dorms open, so I tried to move into the other room, but one of the other roommates didn't want to leave as well. This meant I was stuck with Demora for the semester, and I just had to deal with it. About 3 months passed by, and I come back from my English class. When I opened the door to my dorm, Demora stood up in a panic, asking me why I'm back so early. This was weird, as my English class actually ended late, hence me getting back late. I asked him if he needed the room to himself, and he declined, striking some weird pose that looked like it was from some anime, and he said that I shouldn't be worried at all. I visibly cringed at him, and his statement only made me more uncomfortable. I noticed he had a box on his desk, and when I brought it up, he told me that it wasn't important. I shrugged it off. At this time, I noticed that my iPhone charger and my scissors were missing. I asked Demora if he saw it, and he said he had it. He handed me the scissors, and as he was handing me the iPhone charger, the cable knocked his box over to me as well. The box opened, and what I saw made my heart sink. A sticky note that had my name on it fell out. Alongside this was what looked to be a see-through case. Inside of it, eyelashes, a pair of glasses, a pair of my socks, and a disposable photo of me that I took as a joke. He collected all of it up off the floor as he tried explaining the meaning of it, and I yelled at him to get out. He left immediately. I texted my RA the situation, and he told me that he was out at the moment, but when he comes back tomorrow, to show him the box as evidence so that they would have a reason to kick Demora out. so I got the box and hid it within my laundry bin. I felt really rattled, and the sight of my roommate disgusted me. However, in an hour, he came back. I just told him to stay on his side and not to talk to me. After that, no words were spoken. I tried to stay awake out of fear that he might try to find the box, but after it being a long day, I fell asleep around 2 a.m. When I woke up, I saw Demora was gone, and it felt good seeing him out of the room for once, but then I remembered the box. I went to my laundry bin, and it was gone. I panicked, and not long after, my RA was knocking on the door. I let him in and told him the story. While he did believe me, he said he can't do anything without that box, otherwise he'd just be going off my word alone, which isn't much. I felt like I was losing my mind. The RA left, and about 5 hours later, Demora came back. I asked him what he did with the box. He played dumb and said, "What box? I don't know what you're talking about." I pressured him to stop playing dumb, but Demora kept denying it. I couldn't stand, look, nor be in the same room with him anymore. It's now second semester, and yes, I'm still dorming with Demora, unfortunately. He did let me know that he will never do it again, and that if he does, he'll let me know and we'll move out immediately. I took his word, and we're still dorming as of today. However, I stay out of the room as much as I can. He still creeps me out. And the worst part is that I can't sleep sometimes, nor focus during the day, as I keep thinking of what was in the box. Why did he steal my photo? Why did he steal my socks? What were the glasses for? The part that leaves me scared each time is what those eyelashes were doing there. And perhaps weirdest of all, was he labeled the box with my name. This happened to me during my freshman year of college in 2019. I'm graduated now, but I often think about it. During Halloween week, my college had crazy parties daily. I attended a Big Ten school, so there are always fraternity costume parties, and even the bars make people dress up. It gets pretty wild, lots of booze, lots of police, and lots of memories. This event happened to me on the Saturday of Halloween week. Our football team had a huge win that day, and my friends and I were going to this one particular fraternity off campus to celebrate the victory. We knew about this because one of my friends, Alexandra, was dating a guy on the team. We got to the frat party around 11 o'clock, and things got pretty crazy. Everyone was getting drunk really fast, and we were all booing the school that we beat in different chants while the music blasted. I was taking shots and dancing with all my friends, having a blast. It's critical to note that my phone had died during this time. I had given it to Alexandra to put in her purse. Later, I told my friends that I had to go to the bathroom and to wait for me by the DJ booth. We were all pretty intoxicated at this point. While I was in the bathroom peeing, I heard some frat brother in the house scream "cops" at the top of his lungs, and people started screaming and scrambling to get out of the house. I sprinted out of the frat house and was greeted by multiple cop cars and lights flashing. People were sprinting in different directions. Some cops were already talking to the frat brothers, while others were trying to catch underage people. In my intoxicated state, I realized I didn't have my phone. I started yelling out for my friends while avoiding the cops. Realizing I wasn't going to be able to find them in the crowd, I decided to start making my way home, even though I wasn't entirely sure how to get home. This frat house was pretty far off campus in a different part from other frats. I started making my trek home, and it was absolutely freezing. Even though it was only October, it was like 37 degrees that night. I'm still heavily tipsy, but conscious of everything around me. After a while, I knew I needed a break to warm up and hopefully sober up. I saw a building that looked like one of the academic buildings I'd heard about, so I approached it, opened the door, and stepped inside. It was pretty dark in there, but a few exit signs at different door entrances illuminated a decent portion of the inside. After 5 minutes, I started to sober up a little bit and realized I wasn't in an academic building. I was in a warehouse. I was much warmer, but I became nervous about the eerie feeling around me. I went to open the door, and a pit sank in my stomach. It was locked. How could it have been opened if it was locked from the inside? I started to make my way towards a door near the exit sign. I pushed it open and went through the door, expecting it to lead me to outside, but it was to another part of the building. This room was much smaller, illuminated by a low red light. There was a buzzing noise in the room from some machine. I could see chains hanging from the ceiling and steam in the room. I shit you not, it was like a typical horror movie scene. I went to turn around and go back through the door, but this door was also locked behind me. Sheer panic set through me, and at this point, I was trying not to break down. I leaned up against the wall and slid down silently, crying. This is when I heard it. A door slammed shut and footsteps. I instantly went silent and my eyes widened. I heard another door shut and more footsteps. It was getting closer to my area. I saw the door next to me, and as quietly as possible, I opened it and snuck through. I started wading through the hanging chains and the steam. I heard the door from the previous room open and the footsteps approaching, and they were big, heavy footsteps. My fight or flight kicked in, and I came near a window. With all my might, I kicked it 5 times with my foot, shattering it. This was when I heard the feet running towards the door. I had maybe 10 seconds to spare. I leapt out the window, not even realizing that the other side of the building I was now on happened to be a high drop. I fell like 10 feet out of the window, landing on top of 2 recycling bins. I pushed myself off, shocked by the impact, and looked up at the window. It was shattered, and there was no one in the window frame. I dashed underneath some pine trees a few feet away, hiding myself in the shadows. When I looked back up, that's when I saw a figure looking out the window, looking in all directions for me. My whole body went numb in fear. As quietly as I could, I snuck across the street and ran. I ran for my life as fast as I could, for I didn't know how long until I recognized the side of campus my dorm was on. I got back to my dorm, and my friends were waiting for me outside, panicked and freaking out. They told me I had been gone for almost 4 hours. The following day, I told them of my experience. My friends' mouths hung open as they listened to me talk. After further discussion, I discovered that it was a building that hadn't been used in several years. The pit in my stomach hit me again. Whoever was in the building wasn't a cop. It wasn't night security. This was some random person after me. It still makes me sick to this day. If I hadn't been more quiet or thought as quickly, I could be dead. Even though I tried to find out information, nothing came up. It still remains the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.